Hello, and we're back. Episode 4 of Strong Style Histories, going over of matches posted to NJPW World, some with new English commentary. I am Jeffrey Wessel. With me, Lawrence O'Brien. Lawrence, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, even though I just woke up. Not just woke up, like, in terms of, like, first time I woke up today, but, like, from a mid-afternoon nap.
Well, you know, as I mentioned, you probably needed it, considering everything, so...
I feel amazing now, so...
Oh, hey, there you go. Four matches recently posted to the front page of NJPW World. Although, by the time we actually went to record this, all of these are off the front page now.
Yeah, I don't even know how that front page shit works anymore, so...
Yeah, I don't either. It's like they're keeping, like... You know, the recent stuff, but then, like, any of the old matches, they're, like, cycling them out now.
Yeah.
So, whatever. I mean, you know, if nothing else, it's been a helpful guide to know what matches to talk about. It's like, oh, shit, you know. You look
right
at them and like, oh, God, we'll do this one. But, so anyway, yeah, let's get into this. Especially since now we know for certain there's no new Japan coming for quite some time now, because Best of the Super Juniors has been canceled, and also Wrestle Dynasty, the Madison Square Garden show in August, has been postponed till 2021 now.
Wow.
So I don't blame them for doing that, because, you know, NYC being the hotspot that it is right now, the hotbed or hot zone or whatever you want to call it.
All right.
So it's not a bad idea to do that. It's just, boy, you know, when you consider the fact that we're coming up on almost 3 months since New Japan ran a show at this stage. So, but I mean, they're still, you know, pumping out content for World and giving us these old matches. So, we're going to start with one of them. This is from March the 1st, 1992, Yokohama Arena. This is the 20th anniversary match. Going way back when. This is a tag team match between founder of the company, Antonio Inoki, teaming with Osamu Kido, versus the then IWGP heavyweight champion, Riki Choshu, and Kengo Kimura. And we start off right as rain with Inoki talking some shit to to Choshu. And the match starts off. It's Kido and Kimura in, and we get two blind tags right off the bat, just so we can get Inoki and Choshu in the ring.
Yeah.
So Lawrence, what did you think of this?
Quite a long match, maybe a little longer than it needed to be, but it wasn't bad though. There was some fun stuff in this within this structure of this match. It was an interesting match that was put together, as in you basically. So this was like the 20th anniversary show, correct?
Yeah. This was the 20th anniversary celebratory match. In fact.
Right. Yeah, so in that, you had basically most of the guys here, withstanding Choshu, were pretty much NJPW like originals from the day one of the company, which was very neat, with Kido and Kimura, and obviously Inoki, of course. And, you know, and Choshu wasn't too far, you know, I mean, after, you know, a few years later into the future, but... But Choshu was here too, and then you can even connect it with the UWF as well, because of Kimura and Kido.
Right. Well, and keep in mind too, Choshu was kind of in and out, because he'd come into New Japan and left for a little bit. He was in All Japan.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So he even ran his own company for a little bit, which is something we're going to get to later on in this program. Yeah.
Right.
So I mean, Choshu, he He's mostly known for his New Japan stuff, but he wasn't exactly a lifer either.
No, yeah, there was a bounce, a little bounce back there with him. You know, this was a fun little, like, it just like tribute, I guess, like of a throwback match, I guess you could call it. You know, like really, this was a match that kind of like, it was a pretty good snapshot of Inoki's vision for what Strong Style kind of, you know, is really. Right, would that be a
I think at that
fair
time,
assessment?
yeah, for what he envisioned New Japan to be at that time, yes. I mean, especially early on, there was a lot of mat grabs and submissions going on. Especially there was a sequence early on between Kido and Choshu that was great. Now we never thought for a second Kido was going to overcome Choshu or tap him out, but it looked really good, you
Oh
know.
yeah. There's just a lot of like really interesting counter wrestling in this. It really, really interesting. Like there was stuff that I was even like just like whoa, it blew my mind a little bit. Like Inoki like countering Choshu's lariat into a Fujiwara at one point was just,
Yes,
I mean
that was good stuff.
that was just freaking
Yeah.
amazing.
And there was an extended period where it was Kido and Kimura.
Yeah,
Like
oh yeah,
it
they
was
were
like
just
most of the middle portion of the match, to be honest. And
right.
they were just go it was just back and forth between the two of them.
And they were just shooting there on the ground on the mat, just shooting at on each other, and just it was yeah, it was it was awesome. That just watching them go to work there.
But you
But
can also
also
tell there was some heat between Inoki and Choshu in the
Oh
match,
yeah,
too.
oh yeah. Choshu and Inoki were going at it pretty. It was pretty rough when those two were in there,
Yeah,
and
and
there
this
was
is
a lot.
when Inoki was pretty much part-time at this point, too.
Right. Yeah.
And so Choshu was, so Inoki was part-time. I think this is maybe had was the beginning of his political run. Or, during that time.
Yeah. So
So.
there was a really an interesting story being told here throughout the match with Choshu and Kimura, where Choshu repeatedly tried to put the Scorpion Deathlock on Kimura,
Oh,
but
on
Kimura,
Kido. Kido.
I
Kimura was his partner, yeah.
oh jeez, I'm sorry, I like I don't know why my brain just
Well,
like
with
wrote.
all these different,
Oh,
four people in black trunks, yeah, I can
for
see where you
God's
might get.
sakes. Oh, Jesus. I wrote down Kimura here like an idiot. I meant Kido.
But
But
anyway. But yeah,
yeah.
he did keep trying to go for the Sasori Gatame on Kido.
Yeah, and he couldn't hit it. He couldn't do it because Kido just had all these like crafty counters for it. It's just really wild stuff. Like, and Choshu just looked very like overwhelmed almost.
Yeah, I mean, you almost think that maybe they were setting up Kido for a possible challenge to the title, but such was not to be because Choshu would eventually lay Kido out with the lariat for the pin.
Yeah, I'm such an idiot. That was Kido. Yeah, my apologies. But yeah, Kido was just he really had all this type of counter wrestling that Choshu just isn't, you know, that's not really his forte, you know. And that was
Right.
it was an intra it's a very interesting like clash of styles in this matchup for them. And I thought it was a really interesting story being told.
Yeah, no, it definitely was. It definitely was an interesting story being told, especially with Inoki not coming out on top, but of course he didn't take the fall in this. Interesting stat. I mentioned this was back when Inoki was part-time at this point. This is only the second of three matches that Antonio Inoki would wrestle in 1992.
Yeah.
The first one being the one against Well, someone who we really shouldn't be naming, but just for historical note, Hiroshi Hase, at the Tokyo Dome show that January 1st, that we covered a long time ago, I think in episode two or three of Strong Style History. That was the Super Warriors in Tokyo Dome slash the WCW NJPW, super special, whatever they called it back then. The third match would also involve Hase, Antonio Inoki and Hiroshi Hase beating Brad Rennegans and Rambo.
Wow. Now there's a couple of names for you.
Okay,
Oh my God.
Good old Rambo, Luke Poirier. Poirier, I think, is how you pronounce it. Lumberjack, masked marvel, sniper, mercenary, whatever you want to call him.
Yeah, and then Rennegan's, like amateur wrestler, extreme, and little training under Vern, and
Well, the funny thing is that the event that happened, we talk about best of the Super Juniors usually happening around this time period. Did you know, Lawrence, that this used to be the time period in the New Japan calendar year way back when the complete opposite would happen? There was an event called Crash the Super Heavy.
Oh my goodness, I love it. I never knew about this.
We need to look into maybe looking into a Crash the Super Heavy tournament or Crush the Super Heavy. I've seen it written as both, so.
Wow.
But the match ends. We get the assembled
Yeah.
roster in the ring. I saw Chono and Hashimoto there. I didn't see Muto.
Yeah.
And he was not on. He did not wrestle. Oh, yes, he did. Never mind. I apologize. He did wrestle on this show, but I didn't catch him there. But they're wearing their blue track sh suits.
Oh, love those damn things.
Have you seen some of the new ones? Now that we have the English New Japan shop, I am seriously considering a track suit.
Gotta look like the mob sometimes, you know? Sometimes you just gotta look like the mob, and
Also on this show, the semi-main was an IWGP tag team title match in which Hiroshi Hase and Keiji Muto lost the titles to Big Van Vader and Crusher Bam Bam Bigelow. El Samurai defeated Tiger Mask 3. Of course, that was Koji Kanemoto.
They would later have a hell of a rematch at the Best of the Super Juniors a few years later.
Yes, they would. Shinya Hashimoto beat Masahiro Chono in a singles match.
Wow.
And then the second match in the opening match, Osamu Nishimura beating Satoshi Kojima. This had to have been Young Lion Kojima.
Wow.
And
Yep.
then the oddball second match on the card, Michiyoshi Ohara loses to Brian Blair.
Oh my God. He probably must have just gotten out of the UWF at that time, probably, right?
You're talking about the Abrams
The
or which version of the
yes.
UWF?
Yeah,
Because
a very good point, Jeff.
which version of the UWF, Lawrence?
Yes, the I have refer to the I would be referring to the Herb Abrams
Yeah,
UWF
not the one that we talked about last episode.
I think he was kind of in the midst of it, like being there still, but like he was kind of bouncing back and forth a little bit. But that
I was a huge fan of the Killer Bees when I was a kid. I'm not gonna ashamed of that.
B. Brian Blair had a hilarious quote about Herb Abrams on the Dark Side of the Ring episode, and that was probably going to live in infamy for in regards to Herb Abrams for the rest of his life.
Oh no.
He said Herb Abrams died doing what he
Oh, that
loved.
was B. Brian Blair who said that? I
That
saw that clip, but I didn't know that was B. Brian because
was him.
I don't have Vice anymore, so
Yeah, that was him.
Hey Lawrence, remember how you mentioned El Samurai and Koji Kanemoto would have a quite the Best of Super Junior final match?
Yeah.
We go now to June 5th, 1997, the day of that final, the
Yep,
final, the
correct.
final day of the Best of Super Juniors.
Yep.
Four. This was in 1997, June 5th, 1997. But that's not the match we're going to discuss. We are going to discuss IWGP Heavyweight Title match between defending champion Shinya Hashimoto versus Keiji Muto, my all-time favorite, live from Tokyo Nippon Budokan.
I love that you picked this this era of Muto, because this is probably one of the most interesting arcs of his entire career
Oh, it
in
is. It
at
is.
this point
Yeah.
in this juncture.
Oh, yeah, because if you listen, I watched the Japanese commentary. I didn't see if there was any English commentary on this one. But this was, if you listen to the Japanese commentary, there is a lot of talk of the NWO during this. And that's because this is the period of time in which Keiji Muto was still the staunch defender of the Sekigun and New Japan Pro Wrestling, but the great Muta was part of the NWO.
Yeah, he was wrestling matches for the tag matches as Muto for the freaking NWO. But Muto was like all about protecting New Japan's honor for a while.
Yeah, and this is like still orange or red trunks of Muto too.
Right. So this is a very important crossroads of sorts in his career.
One of many that he will take.
And he so in this in this time period, he was teasing turns to the NWO. He'd be losing a lot of big matches, big time matches like this, and he was very ambiguous about what side he was leaning towards at times, like even like mistakenly tacking tag partners, right, correct?
I mean, there was a lot of doubt going into this, and people want to know where was. Where was Muto's loyalties lay? Because of course he was caught in the middle. Because first he's loyal to the end to New Japan Pro Wrestling, but then again, one of his best buddies and rivals in Masahiro Chono was the leader of the NWO in New Japan.
Correct. There is a little bit of a push and pull there going
Yeah,
on.
and to not help matters, with his alternate personality, the great Muta, being part of the NWO, yeah, you had to ask questions there.
Right. And so let's shift the background a little bit over to the champion here, Shinya Hashimoto, who is in the midst of one of the most insane runs with the
Oh,
IWGP
yeah.
belt in history.
Yeah, this was, I think, the record setting. This was the record setting run until Kazuchika Okada's run.
Correct.
Yeah,
And
so.
yeah, this was just a long time. He'd held it since 96 when he'd beaten Takata, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Hang
Yeah.
on. Let's look this up. But yeah, I mean th but yeah, this was definitely this was the record setting run
Yep.
for decade, and actually overcoming the previous record, which was set by Great Muta.
Right. And then he would actually end up losing it just a couple months later after this to Kensuke Sasaki.
Yes, and actually, yeah, that was Takata. Yeah, he beat Nobuhiko Takada on April the 29th, 1996.
And
So
which just
we are already a year and 2 months into this title run.
yeah.
And here's what's interesting to me is that traditionally this match took place at Budokan, and traditionally New Japan did not do very well at Budokan
This is a
because
point
this.
we've hammered into about on this show quite a few times.
Well, and the other and Strong Style Story too. But yeah,
Yeah.
they traditionally did not sell well in Budokan because that was considered All Japan's building.
Yeah.
Ryogoku was New Japan's building, and then until
Yeah.
they took it to the Tokyo Dome,
Right, right.
and Baba needed to have his arm twisted in order to had to have a roster revolt be threatened if he didn't run the Tokyo Dome. But it looked like there was quite a crowd there in Budokan in this match.
Yeah, no, it was a pretty, pretty solid turnout, for sure. But this was the way this match was worked was very, it was a little methodical, but there was a reason for it. Muto really felt he was gonna just control this. He wasn't gonna let like Hashimoto, really get going. So he just went to the took him to the mat and just kept him there for like a long while.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, this was, our very first match that we reviewed was Great Muta versus Hashimoto, and this was not that match. This is the complete opposite. This is
Completely drastically different.
a lot of mat work. Well, and it also shows the differences in how Muto worked at between either as himself or as Great Muta.
Oh yeah, there's a profound difference in styles there, and yeah, so it was basically, he was just just laying on Hosh for the most part, laying on him and just like kind of holding him, and just little holds and rest holds and like, just kind of grabbing onto his legs so he couldn't use them, and for a while, and then Hashimoto eventually he just got out of the ring and just started kicking shit because he's just gotten so frustrated. Like Muto just won't stop laying on him, and he's just pissed off. And then Muto decides to open the ropes for Hashimoto, almost in like a tongue in cheek like way, like, "Hey, come on back in."
Yep.
Like, and that's when hell started to break loose. Hashimoto started laying into him, but Muto kind of cut him off again. And then you're really in doubt at this point, going like, "Oh my God, like Muto is just controlling this whole match. He's got this like under control." It's like Hashimoto just hasn't looked this much in danger in a long time.
Oh yeah. Yeah, but eventually, of course, as we did mention, this is the record-setting run, and this would not be the day that Hashimoto lost the title. When do you think the moment in the match was that Muto could have done it but didn't?
He actually Muto at that point after that he kind of ran through some of his signature stuff. He thought it might, he thought it was probably going to be over, but with after a couple near falls, he got into a striking battle with Hashimoto. He caught him with the dragon screw, and then he hit the big the Frankensteiner from the second rope,
Right.
and then he and kind of put him in the figure four. But then decided, "Oh, I'm gonna go for the big one, the moonsault," and he got misses he missed it. And then Hashimoto just started peppering him. So that's when Hashimoto really started to be able to do what he does best, and that's what kicked the holy hell out of people. And he kicked out of a Muto got was able to kick out of a DDT and reverse the brain buster. But then, and he hit the moonsault. But then, he tried to do the figure four again, and
Yep.
Hashimoto just absolutely waylays him with a kick to the side of the head, and throws him off. And just then he finishes him off with some more kicks, and then hits the brain buster.
Yeah,
Muto lost it at the freaking last minute. He had oh, after controlling the entire match on his own, and just blew it again.
that was the moment. It's like I think if Muto would have pinned him after the moonsault, that would have been Muto's, but of course, he went for the figure four instead, and he paid for it.
He overthought it a little bit, and Hosh caught him just at the right time, and he was able to escape, and Muto like once again loses yet another big match, just driving his frustrations up even more and making him really consider what he's going to do in the near future. And what would happen in the near future, Jeff?
Well, he would eventually assume control of the NWO
Yes, he actually
after Chono. Well, he would turn, but then Chono would have his neck, another neck injury, and have to go out
Right.
again. So he would, so Muto would end up becoming the leader and would regain the IWGP Heavyweight title during that time as
Yep.
well. But also on the by the way, this match was rated 3.5 stars by the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. The Best of Super Junior final that happened on this show.
Oh, yeah.
It was a 5-star match by the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. El Samurai beating Koji Kanemoto to win Best of Super Juniors 4. There's a 4-star 8-man tag match on this show too, Lawrence.
Oh.
Jushin Thunder Liger, Gran Naniwa,
Oh.
Dr. Wagner Jr., and Chris Jericho
Wow.
defeating Hanzo Nakajima, Shinjiro Otani, Tatsuhiro Takaiwa, and Yoshihiro
Oh my goodness. I don't know how I've never seen this before.
Yeah, I've never seen this match either, so yeah,
Oh my.
I'm gonna have to look for this one.
Oh my God.
Also on this show, the opening match, Kendo Kashin defeats Kazuyuki
My goodness gracious. Wow.
Fujita. And the NWO did not have a good the NWO did not have a good show because Saito and Tenzan lost to Junji Hirata and Takashi Iizuka in the second match of the show, and then they also fell IWGP Tag Team Title match. The Bull Powers, Manabu Nakanishi and Satoshi Kojima, retained against Chono and NWO Sting.
Oh my God, Jeff Farmer.
Super J.
Oh my God. I forgot. I totally
Oh,
forgot
good.
Jeff Farmer worked there for a while. I
Oh yeah,
totally
he
forgot.
Oh yeah, he, yeah, and when it became Team
Oh.
2000, he took on the name Super J.
That's right.
Boy,
Jumpin' Jeff.
the things you find the things you find out and remember as you go through these matches, right?
Holy Christ. That's
Holy Christ,
amazing.
indeed.
Well, yeah, this match was really a big turning point in Muto's career, really, if you think about it. You even saw it in the post match. He like stormed into his locker room. Like he didn't want to talk to any press. He said, "Get out of my face." Like he was frustrated, he was mad, and you just could see it building, building, and building. And you knew at some point he was going to turn on those guys.
Yeah, well, I mean, well, of course, you know. Yeah, I
I think
mean, especially
he
in
turned on Yama.
hindsight. Yeah, especially
He
in
turned on,
hindsight.
I turned on Yamazaki, right?
I think so, yeah. I have to go back and remember that, but
I think
yeah.
that was, yeah, I think that was who he ended up
Yeah,
turning.
Kazuo Yamazaki. Yeah, I think that is who you would end up turning on.
Yeah. So that was a very, very interesting choice of match because that was a really. It probably wasn't. You know, they it's weird. Him, Muto and Hosh, I felt like never really had that like amazing chemistry together. They had some pretty good matches, but then nothing I think you could ever categorize as like really great. Yeah, I
Yeah.
think
Well,
that would be
yeah,
fair to
this is the
say.
second one of their matches that we've done
Yeah,
on this retrospect.
they never were like really great matches. I think they just kind of had a ceiling of what they did. And like this match was very good, but it just didn't get going for a while. Muto did a lot of that stuff with the on the mat for like a long while, and it wasn't necessarily the most like entertaining like mat stuff either. It wasn't incredibly engaging mat work. It was just kind of like. You know, he was kind of laying on Hosh and just kind of, you know, controlling, but it wasn't necessarily the most
Yeah.
like engaging type of work. But once it really got going there after a while, it was a very good match. But I think 3.5 was a pretty solid rating on that match.
Yeah, I might have gone 4 on it, but yeah, I do think you're right. But I'm a little biased too, so and I
I
admit
think. I think
that.
Dave, I probably agree with Dave on that one, to be honest with you. That was about pretty much where I had that. But let's this next match though. Here's another inch very fascinating time in New Japan.
Yeah, it sure is an interesting time. Let's get into that one. We travel forward six years. December the 9th, 2003, from Osaka Prefectural Gymnasium. And this is the IWGP Heavyweight Title match. Hiroshi Tenzan defending against Shinsuke Nakamura. My first comment on this is, God damn it, where is Tenzan's mullet?
It was not non-existent at this point.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, you see that and you could see just how bulbous his head is.
Yeah.
which we noticed before when we did that when we did that that first January 4th show when he was still a young lion.
Yeah.
And oh my goodness, and he was a junior, and but yeah, that was
That's why his headbutt's hurt.
his head just looks like it looks like a bobblehead compared to the
Yeah.
rest. It's a good thing he bulked up because especially when he was a junior.
Oh yeah.
But holy cow.
So
So
this is very, like I said, and how did we get here? Jeff, how?
We got here because we got here because Antonio Inoki had some ideas.
Yes, he did. So Nakamura at this point in time had actually won a couple MMA fights. pretty awesome, you know, like
And pretty rare for any of the New Japan guys that were forced to do MMA.
yeah, he lost his first fight, but then he won his subsequent two after that. And there was an air of legitimacy to Shinsuke at this point after that. And there was, you know, the growing you know, kind of the growing star that was kind of getting put on him, compared to the other two, you know, major rookies at the time, Shibata and Tanahashi. And you know, those guys.
Who we see during this match.
Yeah, yes. And yeah, but Nakamura was the guy they put the rocket to. This was no ordinary rocket, Jeff. This was unprecedented, and still is not something we have seen since before or since,
It,
really.
well, we'll get to that at the end of the match. There may be a reason for that. So.
Yeah, so Nakamura is put in this spot at the young age of 23. 23 years old has his first shot at the IWGP title. It is just absolutely unbelievable.
And you notice and you notice how much that Inoki is trying to push him as being like the future of New Japan of New Japan Pro Wrestling, the future of Strong Style. If you look at Nakamura's ring gear, it's
Oh yeah.
all Lion Mark.
Yep. And he didn't have to wear the, you know, the black trunks, the basic hairdo. You know, he was already had his own personality, his own music,
Yeah,
essentially.
he was definitely getting elevated to a level that no other young lion. I mean, considering who else, the likes of whom else has come through that dojo, when you consider, you know, Chono, Muto, Hashimoto, Keiichi Yamada would become Jushin Thunder Liger, you know, so on. Even up till now, you know, when you look at even a Kazuchika Okada.
Yep.
Or Hiromu Takahashi or any of those, and they did not get this instant of a push.
And this is even crazier. Nakamura didn't even have an excursion. Have to do an excursion at this point in time. He
No.
did not have to go anywhere. He was there from the get-go and didn't go anywhere. And he has already now gotten the title match, which is just it's crazy to think about, you know, in this even at this point in time. It's just It was a unprecedented thing. What was the, you know, actually, no, I'm gonna ask that later. I'm gonna ask that question later. But so yeah, this is the way this match goes. Nakamura was getting his ass beat.
Oh, he
Tenzan
was.
was gonna make him earn every little bit of this.
Oh yeah, but in fact, Nakamura had a bloody. You know, he was bleeding from his mouth early. So this is, you know, long before he was even wearing a mouth guard.
Yeah, because Nakamura slapped him, and that was not a thing you want to do.
Yeah, you do not want to slap that bulbous head of Hiroshi Tenzan.
And you're just thinking, what the hell is this young guy thinking? He, like, what are you trying to die? Like, do you realize what you've done?
Yeah, and this is in the midst of, you know, Tenzan's mega push where he won like what, three G1 climaxes in 4 years or something like that.
Oh yeah.
I mean, yeah.
And yeah, so And then Nakamura, but a couple times Nakamura surprised Tenzan a little bit with his agility and his technical ability. And then, I mean, you could just see the talent there with Shinsuke. It was the flashes were there at this point in time, and you could see it. I mean, how talented this guy was when he was fully, healthy and whatnot. The guy had just an immense amount of ability, as you could see here in the early stages of the match. But then Tenzan just absolutely takes control for a while. Just beats the living fuck out of Shinsuke Nakamura. I mean, for a good 10 minutes.
Oh,
I
yeah,
mean,
but since this is a 12-minute match,
yeah. At one point,
Nakamura locks on a submission.
oh, wait. Well, for that though, this is a big important part of this was that Tenzan actually hit Nock with this lariat that literally turned him inside out, like did a full 360. Amazing sell from,
Oh, yeah.
by the way, absolutely like incredible sell from Nakamura on this. Like gave you an impression like this is over, but Tenzan lifts his head off the mat. Tenzan probably could have finished him there with that move and that lariat, but he lifts his head off the mat as to embarrass him a little more. He wants to punish Nakamura, who's holding on for dear life, and he doesn't want this young kid. He wants to make sure this young kid realize what he got himself into. But like you said, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Nock just pulls some absolute magic and locks on into a triangle position, transitions it into an armbar where Tenzan was not able to gain any leverage, and Tenzan was forced to tap out. And out of nowhere, Shinsuke Nakamura becomes the youngest ever IWGP Heavyweight Champion at the age of 23 years old.
So before we go into the long-term effects of this match, I just want to point out some of the other things that happened on this show, Lawrence.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so this was from day 12 of Battle Final 2003. This wasn't even the ending day of the tour.
Wow.
So also on this show, a 3.5-star Wrestling Observer Newsletter match in which Hiroshi Tanahashi defended and retained the U30 openweight title against Naomichi
Wow.
Marufuji. Minoru Suzuki beat Takashi
Yeah.
Iizuka. Ryusuke Taguchi in the opening match beat Hirooki Goto.
Wow, young, both of them were,
Yeah.
young boys
Yeah,
at
and
this
let's talk
time.
about yeah, and let's talk about real quick side note, like the people surrounding the ring in this match. On one side, on Nakamura's side, you had Tanahashi, Shibata,
Yep.
Ryusuke Taguchi,
Yep.
Toriano were there,
Yeah.
and then on the other side, because this was Team 2000, you saw Yutaka Yoshie and Tatsutoshi Goto.
Amazing. Yeah, yo, a lot skinnier Yoshi.
Yeah. The second match on this show, Lawrence, you're gonna love this one. Tag match, Tatsutoshi Goto and Wataru Inoue were defeated by American Dragon and the Shadow.
Wow. Oh my
Yeah,
God.
we know who American Dragon is, of course.
Jesus. Yeah, he's pretty solid wrestler.
He was okay.
He turned out all right.
Do you know who the Shadow was?
I feel like I know this, Jeff, and I hate it that I can't think of it right now. And I think I know this. I just it's in the deep recesses of my brain.
He was most recently known as Victor of the.
Oh, yep, Rick Victor. That's
Yep.
right. Fucking hell. I knew that. I knew that. It was in the recesses of my brain. People
Yeah.
don't realize how long Rick Victor's been around for. Like,
Yeah, he's been around a few minutes. Also on this show, Nagata and Nakanishi beat Josh Barnett and Scott Norton
wow.
in a tag match. But yeah, let's talk about the long-term effects of this match because within a month at Wrestling World 2004,
So I gotta ask you first, though, Jeff. What and you were around the message boards during this period of time. And I know that. What was the reaction from that community to this?
I think a lot of it was just holy shit.
Yeah.
It was a mix of holy shit and what is Inoki doing? As I recall, I was kind of off. I was transitioning off the message boards. I was also kind of getting away from New Japan at this point. I was mostly out of wrestling except for Noah, honestly, because I
Oh,
was
yeah.
hanging on to Kobashi's epic GHC run.
Right.
Well, it would turn out to be his epic GHC run. It was
Yeah.
always it, to me, it was always epic because Kobashi's my number two guy of all time,
Yeah.
next to
See,
Muto.
this is why I wish we had Steve Cash here for this, because like I know he'd have a great answer in regards to
He
this.
would, but I mean, yeah, I there was a lot of holy fuck. There was a lot of that because, yeah, I mean, it was unprecedented
Oh,
that this
yeah.
guy who basically was skipping the entire Young Lion program, essentially. And was getting these
Right.
shots and didn't have to do the Young Lion Cup and go on
Yep.
excursion. And
Yeah.
so let's jump to Wrestling World 2004, and Nakamura beats Yoshihiro Takayama to unify the IWGP title with the NWF heavyweight title, the historical title from New Japan Pro Wrestling.
The rocket ship is at Pluto at this point.
Yes, it is, and then he has to vacate it for
Yeah,
injuries.
and here in starts the very unfortunate run of Shinsuke Nakamura injuries that he had a very rough time with. He had notoriously troublesome shoulders, Jeff.
Yes.
Notoriously troublesome shoulder problems throughout the years. And this was kind of the start of that, and yeah, he also apparently, from what I've been told, he ha apparently was also struggling with some pretty mental health issues during this time. I'm sure, like you said, probably notwithstanding the incredible amount of pressure put on him at such a young age, sure did not help matters.
Yeah, no, I would be very surprised if it did not contribute to that, just because of, again, the sheer amount of pressure that he was being that was being put on him by Inoki
And he
to
didn't
be.
really recover from this for quite a few years. Like you said, that was like a 4-year period where he did not have the title.
No, he did not win the IWGP title. In fact, I have to look. No, I take that back. He did win a title
Yeah, well, yeah,
during
a
that
title.
time. He did win a title. He won the yeah, Nakamura would win the tag team titles with Hiroshi Tanahashi of all people
Yeah.
on December the 11th of 2004, but yeah, he would not touch the IWGP heavyweight title again until 2008. And I really think that the pressure notwithstanding, I don't think Nakamura was ready, mentally or otherwise, to be the guy in New Japan Pro Wrestling.
I mean,
And
Jesus. I mean, it's hard to ask that of a 23-year-old kid that really has just started. I mean, it was just, it's a lot. It's a lot.
yeah, I think that may be one of the lasting legacies of the Inokiism period, and I think that maybe long term contributed to the issues that New Japan would soon have is that the guy that Inoki picked, and he pushed him way too early, and he was simply not ready for it.
Right.
And because of that, I think the comp and because of that. Nakamura's career faltered for quite some time. Like, I mean, we all love the Shinsuke Nakamura. We all love the Chaos Era Shinsuke Nakamura, especially after he came back from Mexico.
Yeah, well, that was like the second time, I think, right? The
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, 'cause he initially went to Mexico, Brazil, Russia, and like was it 06? He went there. And then he initially they were gonna at that time they were trying to build him up back up again, and then guess what? Another dislocated shoulder.
Yeah, I mean he had again the sheer amount of pressure and the elevation that came way too early for him, I really think ruined him. I think long term it negatively affected New Japan Pro Wrestling too.
Oh, yeah.
Because I mean I think if you had a healthy and mentally ready Nakamura,
Right.
it could have been a different story for the company. Because I mean even then he had there, I mean he had there was an appeal to him even then. But
Right.
it took but it also took these failures and him adopting that character that we all, and then we all decided he was the greatest wrestler on earth.
Yeah, the King of Strong style really just it came after those trips, the different trips, other places, and him just kind of being able to see other people and other places and
Yeah.
other gimmicks, and
But
he just
also having had that failure on him too, you know?
right. Yep.
And again, I mean, I could see what Inoki wanted to do. He, especially in light of what had happened, because I mean, this was in late 2003. They were still in very many ways reeling from Keiji Muto and Satoshi Kojima bailing to All Japan, because you could tell. I think Inoki wanted to do something with Kojima. Like Kojima was going to be a next guy, along with maybe even ahead of Tenzan, had that happened, you know?
Yeah, totally changed the dynamic there. It really did.
Yeah, I mean it did, and I mean again they it took them a while to recover from that, but it was all prelude to the quote unquote dark period of NJPW too, and Inoki thought, oh yeah, I can make this guy a star. And he did, but it didn't quite work out. And Nakamura's career, I think, suffered for it because, I mean, if you notice, after 2010, as we talked about, he never gets another IWGP heavyweight title run.
No, nope.
I mean, he didn't get one at all during in the entire Bushiroad era.
Yeah, but just how crazy is that to think about, like when you really go back and think about it, it's just like really crazy. I mean, how popular he was,
He was. I mean, he did elevate the Intercontinental title, but I don't think that's what he set out to do.
I don't think that was the initial,
Yeah. But I
but it
mean,
happened.
yeah, was this a good match? Yeah, it was all right. The match was all right.
I liked the way it was worked, though. It was a really good story told, honestly. The way it was done, it was really well done. It just the follow through just
Yeah, the follow through kind of taints it quite a bit, you know?
it was just so hard to do that with the situation, considering his age and the injuries that were to come. It was just it was a lot, and then just obviously just the situation of pro wrestling in Japan at that time in general was
Yeah, wrestling in general was hitting about to hit its down period. I
it
mean,
just
because I
wasn't
mean, remember
good.
we're going. I mean, we're talking in during eras where there were multiple dome shows throughout the year, and nowadays only one company ever runs the dome, and they run it once in January.
Boy, it's supposed to be a lot worse after all this.
Oh boy. Well, that's a discussion for another show, but. Oh boy. Well, on that note, let's get to our final match of this episode.
Oh, yeah.
We go forward only a year to November the 13th, 2004, the Tokon Festival from the Osaka Dome. And this is an IWGP heavyweight title match, Kensuke Sasaki versus Minoru Suzuki. Now, let's talk about where both these guys were at this period of time. Kensuke Sasaki, his star had fallen huge, and that was all to do with his loyalty to Riki Choshu, which
Yeah,
would come.
fighting World of Japan Pro Wrestling was
Fighting
his.
of World Japan, yes.
Yep, it is where he was these last 2 years, and didn't do a whole lot of good for his reputation because they fell went under very, very quickly.
Well, and that, and considering Sasaki at one point I think he took, didn't he mortgage his house or something?
Oh my goodness, I did
Yeah, I mean
not.
he invested. He took like, I think he. Hold on a second. I gotta look this.
Yeah, because well, he didn't
I actually
leave
had
New.
that. I actually had this up had we done the show last week, but I had to reboot my laptop since then. So.
And he didn't particularly come leave New Japan under very good terms.
No, he didn't leave New Japan under very good terms, and hold on, I'm looking up here now. Blah, 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 blah. You know what? I don't see it here. I thought. Okay, yeah, it just says. I thought I saw it say that he had a mortgage. Oh yeah, here he goes. Kensuke Sasaki. Oh, he canceled his life insurance.
Sure.
To the tune of 5 million yen.
Oh
Yeah,
man.
which is the exact amount that Kazuchika Okada just gave to COVID relief, which in today's money is roughly $47,000.
Pretty generous of Okada do that.
Well, it was, and it was pretty generous of Sasaki to do that for Riki Choshu.
Yeah.
And yeah, and they ended up getting washed over it, and he and Akira Hokuto
Yeah.
had severe money issues from that. With the quote from Wikipedia saying Sasaki having to work up to two independent shows a day just to
Yeah.
support his family. So, not only had he left New Japan Pro Wrestling under bad circumstances,
The way he won the IWGP title was also under some very strange
Well, right,
circumstances.
but we'll get to that too here momentarily. But I mean, his relationship with Riki Choshu was irreparably damaged. I mean, this was, I mean, and he was Choshu's guy
Oh
for
yeah,
so long.
very much so.
And yeah, I mean, it damaged that. So he came back to New Japan, but everybody hated him. And now,
Oh.
after he won the title and then got washed by Bob Sapp to lose it again.
Oh
So after that,
man.
he tried to begin he tried to begin a reconciliation arc with between himself and the fans, bringing in of course his boy Katsuhiko Nakajima into the fold. Sasaki would end up winning what would end up being his final reign as IWGP title champion, excuse me, beating Kazuyuki Fujita under very questionable circumstances.
Oh my goodness.
And
What the
yeah, like basically the going rate is Fujita basically sandbagged and intentionally pulled a Brian Pillman basically.
Oh man.
And Sasaki and Akira Hokuto were legit pissed with Sasaki even breaking the IWGP the trophy you get when you win the IWGP title.
Right.
But this would be
Oh, boy.
Sasaki's second defense of in this title reign against a Minoru Suzuki that had disappeared from pro wrestling for about 10 years. As one of the members of
Yeah.
Pancrase, one of
Right.
the founders of Pancrase, and he returned to pro wrestling, and he was more or less independent. But around this time, he was mostly working New Japan. He would also do some work in Noah
Yeah.
around this time,
Right.
and yeah. So we get to this match, and the first comment I made on this match was that there was absolutely no heat for this match whatsoever.
Oh my God. Man. You were not kidding. I was like, man, it can't be that bad, right? And it was like, oh wow, it's
No,
bad.
it's pretty
But
bad.
fans were really must have just been fed up with him at this point. They just didn't really care for him.
Well, I guess the fans caught up to the internet then because, oh God, I always fucking hated Kensuke Sasaki.
And yeah, this is this match wasn't even necessarily bad. I mean, they were very stiff with each other. But it just kind of fell off a cliff after a while because there was just no reaction, and they didn't even know what to do anymore,
Yeah,
really.
there was nothing to this, man. I mean, it was okay. It was fine technically, but just so
And then,
nondescript. And then the finish.
oh, I mean, you got Kensuke kicking out of the Gotch pile driver at like one to like zero reaction, which is like some indie wrestling shit that happens like these days.
Yeah, but then okay, so then we get the lariat. We get the lariat. Suzuki kicks out of it. He gets up, walks
And
2 steps,
falls
and
down.
falls over, and then lol, Sasaki wins.
This was yeah, this fell apart really quick. It started out a little promising, but it just went off a complete the edge of a cliff like after a while.
And I know this was like before Minoru Suzuki was, Minoru fucking Suzuki, but in the hearts and minds of, wrestling fans everywhere. But boy, oh boy, this was
Yeah.
just this. I cannot recommend this match.
Yeah, to me, like, talk about all the Enokiisms, whatever you want, and put the blame on Enokiism, but when you had shit like this too, Jeff, this didn't help either.
No, it
This
didn't.
was
No, I totally agree. No, this match.
the utter shits. I mean, this was just this is a bottom point, man. This is a bottoming out point for them. This is just oof. Ah, man, this crowd just is there, but they don't care. There's nothing that I swear to God, Jeff, I saw somebody in the audience look like they were sleeping.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, you heard like the occasional yell of Kensuke, like, yeah, everybody always, you're always gonna have a little bit of that, but boy, you'd think that for that time period and as big as Sasaki used to be in New Japan, and how we think of Suzuki now, and oh my goodness.
Yeah, his career there really went out in a whimper. It was very, very sad.
Yeah, well, yeah. Let's get into that. In the long term of this, Sasaki would end up dropping on his next on his next defense.
If you guys guess who came back.
And then Riki Choshu came back, and he just said, "Yeah, I'm out."
Goodbye, see
And
you
that was
later.
it. And that was it for Kensuke Sasaki in New Japan Pro Wrestling. And he would actually sign to All Japan after that, but also would have in 2005, both men in this match would have some of the greatest matches ever against Kenta Kobashi.
Yeah, and Kensuke ended up becoming one of two guys to ever hold the IWGP, the GHC, and the Triple Crown.
Yeah, one of only two. It is
Yeah.
shocking that Minoru Suzuki is not on that list.
Yeah, it's considering, where he's been, he definitely had a shot at it.
Yeah,
But
I mean, I don't think it's going to happen at this point, but it's just a shame that Suzuki's not on that list. But at the same time, it's a list of two. The other one,
yeah,
be of
I
course,
know.
being Yoshihiro Takayama.
Yep, correct.
But
Yep.
yeah, it would take Kenta Kobashi to give Sasaki any sort of redemption.
Yeah, I mean, it's just plain and simple. I think he just needed a change of scenery. He just did not fit into the landscape of New Japan at this point, this juncture, and it just his reputation was really sullied by that point, and I think it wasn't a good mix.
Well, yeah, and plus the fact that the falling, I mean, psychologically he just wasn't there either. I mean, after everything that happened with Choshu and fighting of World Japan
Right,
too.
yeah.
Yeah, I
Yeah, I think he was a
mean,
little burnt out.
yeah, I mean, you almost feel sorry for him, but It's Sasaki, so no, I don't really feel that sorry for him. I'm sorry, I'm not gonna make any bones about it. I mean, I said a couple of years ago when he was like reaching out and saying, "Hey, I will take any job at all," because Akira Hokuto had to recover from a mastectomy for breast cancer. But I gave mad props for that one. But I mean, as a wrestler, I always fucking hated him.
So there's some guys, I get it, there's certain guys you just don't fuck with,
No,
and at
I think
certain
a lot of it
times.
was because of Choshu, the way that he booked Sasaki, and he was Choshu's guy, so he was always going to go over no matter what, And let's not forget that, at the same time, let's not forget that Fighting of World Japan formed because Inoki fired Choshu because Inoki blamed Choshu for why Muto and Kojima left. Which, that's not the case, brother.
Oh
You can
boy.
kind of feel for him for the on that point, but yeah, Fighting of World Japan was just a resolutely bad idea, and it just showed, Choshu had no idea how to run an indie promotion, and this was the second time he'd done it too, so.
By the way, folks, there has been some World Japan footage popping up online as of late. So
Oh, you're kidding me.
if you ever wanted to see, check out some of that ill-fated promotion that was around for very cup of, much a cup of coffee. It's out there. It's out there. There's been some stuff being uploaded, which is really neat. So,
Oh, you gotta hook me up with some of these links here, brother. It's time for our favorite quiz on this show, Lauren. Was this match the main event?
My guess was it definitely was not the main event.
You would be correct. The semi-main in the semi-main, Toshiaki Kawada and Naoya Ogawa beat Hiroshi Tenzan and Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Well, that's just objectively rules.
And in the main event, Kazuyuki Fujita and Kendo Kashin, who I guess he was allowed to come back, I guess. Beat Manabu Nakanishi and Shinsuke Nakamura.
Wow.
Both of those matches got 3.5 stars from the Wrestling Observer News. There was also an IWGP Heavyweight Title match. Heat. Minoru Tanaka retained against Koji Kanemoto. Boy, Koji Kanemoto is just getting it on this show today.
No kidding. One of my favorites, Minoru Tanaka.
Oh yeah. Also, there is a singles match of note here. Genichiro Tenryu beat Katsuyori Shibata.
Wow. Oh, jeez.
So yeah, it looks like there's quite a mixed bag of things on this.
Yeah, no kidding.
But yeah, so again, I can't really recommend this particular match though.
Oh, no. Don't waste your time.
Yeah. And
It's
we've seen Suzuki have bad matches. We have.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
That
he's at them.
match with Elgin. Oh, Jesus. That was one of the
Yeah,
worst matches I've ever seen.
it's weird, like, for me, like, I love Suzuki, but, like, man, sometimes he has some stinkers.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's the law of averages. I mean, we always talk about how great Ric Flair is, but I mean, think of the number of matches that Ric Flair has had, and you think all of them are classics? Yeah, hell to the no. Hell to the no. All righty. Well, I think that wraps us up for this batch of four, Lawrence. Should we go down? Let's go down what next episode is going to bring us, if you're ready for this. Our next episode, when we get to it, hopefully next week. Antonio Inoki versus Hulk Hogan, June 2nd, 1983, the final of the International Wrestling Grand Prix that year. Oh yeah, it's that match, folks. Also, Jushin Thunder Liger versus Naoki Sano, 10-9, 1985. Going back a little bit on my promise about never doing the NJPW versus UWFI, but this is a match that nobody ever really talks about. from that series. So why not? Let's go for it. Great Muta versus Jinsei Shinzaki, 4/29/1996. Hey, that was the day that Hashimoto won
Wow.
that won that won the
Yeah.
title.
Wow,
So
Shinsei.
we're yeah. So Great Muta versus Jinsei Shinzaki from the Tokyo Dome, 29/29/1996, and then lastly, from May 3rd, 2010, from Fukuoka International Center, IWGP Heavyweight Junior Heavyweight Title match. Excuse me, Naomichi Marufuji versus Ryusuke Taguchi.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, I was complaining the other day that we haven't done too many junior matches. Well, I decided to put some junior matches on this one. So Lawrence, go ahead and plug yourself.
You can find me at LOB underscore three on Twitter, and please check out I've retweeted it pretty recently, the first episode of our Scandals in Puro show from Puro in the Rough. We go over a lot of BJW focused scandals such as Wing Camera, sexual assault, accusation.
You kind of bounce around a few promotions, actually.
Yeah, a little bit, but yeah, there's a lot of other stuff too. We talk about Yoshihiro Sasaki and why he ended up having to go to Big Japan, and then how him and Shadow WX were kicked out of Big Japan, essentially. Not really kicked out, but just released when at the time when they had both had a lot of injuries. So it was a very interesting, covered a lot of topics there.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned we're talking about Kensuke Sasaki, because I know you briefly kind of like in two sentences go over Kensuke Sasaki. I'm like, Jesus, you could do a whole episode just on Kensuke
Oh, I know.
Sasaki.
That's why we didn't really go too far into it, because
Yeah.
you know what, we know at some point we're gonna be definitely
Yeah.
covering that.
So anyway, and where can we find that?
Oh, it's so you can find it. We're on iTunes and Spotify. If you look in the rough on either of those platforms, on SoundCloud as well. The links are on my page. I've pinned them on my Twitter page if you need to find them. So
All right, and you can find me at Strong Style Story without the E in style on Twitter. Also, my personal Twitter at GD Wessel, two S's, one L. The blog, which I actually made an actual post on the blog earlier this week to talk about Best of Super Juniors and Wrestle Dynasty being canceled and postponed, is at strongstylestory.tumblr.com. And yeah, so until then, well, we'll be on Boom Goes the Dynamite this Wednesday. But yeah, hopefully by next Sunday we'll get episode 5 of this New Japan World retrospect. So Lawrence, any final words?
no, I think that's it for me.
All right. Well, we'll either see you on Wednesday or around these parts next week. So take care.